Welcome to EarnestlyContendingForTheFaith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today we are starting a 14-part series that we have assigned the title Satan's Counterfeits. This series is based upon a document that I have written, and the title of that document is Identifying Satan's Counterfeits, Including His Sinister Ministers and Their False Doctrines. Now, this particular series is going to be very strong because it covers some topics that are not properly dealt with in most churches today. And it deals a lot with doctrine, and doctrine is not taught in most of our churches today. But the index of this document, I show the topics that I have on it. And, of course, the very first one is the introduction. And then I've got one titled An Age of Deception and Delusion. Another one called The Holy Duty of Those Who Will Be Teachers and Preachers. Next is Counterfeit Gods. Next is Counterfeit Christ. Next is Counterfeit Spirits. Next is counterfeit gospels and their counterfeit salvations, counterfeit baptisms. Next is counterfeit churches. Next is counterfeit kingdoms. Next is counterfeit miracles. Next is counterfeit Bibles. Next we have counterfeit Christian music. Then we have counterfeit preachers, pastors, and teachers. Then we have God's rebuke of and warnings to wicked pastors and false prophets. Then we have God's commands to the preachers and teachers who would compromise because of their fear of their listeners. And then we have some closing comments on this particular series. One of the greatest attacks by heretical Christianity in 2026 is the attack upon the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just in case you have not been taught by your teachers and preachers, our God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is God manifest in the flesh. We call Him Lord because He is God. We call Him Jesus because He is our Savior. And that name Jesus means Jehovah saves. We call Him Christ because He is God's anointed Messiah who shall rule and reign upon the literal throne of David in the literal city of Jerusalem. He'll rule and reign there for 1,000 years. The Lord Jesus Christ is Jehovah manifest in the flesh. That has been driven home to me with an exclamation point in the last several years. I have been saved for almost 33 years now, and I have heard many times in those 33 years that the Lord Jesus Christ is manifest on every page of the Bible. That statement is a whole lot more true than I had realized, and even than I had been taught. The book of Isaiah is the ultimate manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. During the course of the last several years, I have completed a massive 100-page study of the angel of the Lord and other manifestations of deity in the Bible. During those 2 years, it was much more fully revealed to me how much the Lord Jesus Christ dominates the Old Testament. He is Jehovah manifest in the flesh. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. Folks, we're starting a series today whose overriding theme is identifying Satan's counterfeits, including his sinister ministers and their false doctrine. Deception, false prophets, and false teachers are birthed in perverting and or rejecting the Word of God. This series is motivated by the warning of our Lord Jesus Christ that if the commandments and doctrines that we teach are contrary to the Word of God, then our worship is in vain. In the course of this series, you will oft hear Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9 quoted. Those verses state the following. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. We are very strong in our conviction that we should not compromise the doctrines of the Word of God in word or in deed. In this study, you will hear many passages of Scripture quoted several times. Some ideas will be repeated over and over and over again. Repetition is the foundation upon which rock-solid memories are built. It is better for you to hear it from the Word of God than it is to hear it from me. There will not be a lot of verse-by-verse commentary by me. The King James Bible is the best commentary on itself. Most of us do not consider it, but we are in a battle with a satanic trinity. Satan is the great imitator. Though we can see it throughout the Bible, the satanic trinity is never more clearly presented than what it is in Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. Let's go read those verses. Starting in verse 1, Revelation 13, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give unto the image of the beast that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beasts. for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. That's the entirety of Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. Now, on March 25th, 2026, in America and in our churches, we are headed for Revelation 13, doing maximum speed down a street that ends in the unsaved bursting through the gates of hell into the fiery pits of the lake of fire. I want to remind you that hell is an eternally burning reality. In Revelation 13, verses 1 through 8, we have the anti-God, the Antichrist, and the anti-Holy Ghost. The beast is the Antichrist, the dragon is the anti-God, and of course the dragon is Satan himself. The false prophet is the anti-spirit. All three work in unison to oppose and replace the Holy Trinity, which is what the Bible calls the Godhead. We typically think of the Antichrist as being against Christ. While that is true, the ultimate goal of his opposition is to replace or be in the stead of Christ. He wants to come instead of Christ, in other words. That is Satan's objective for every member of the Godhead. Satan focuses on 10 major areas in his attempt to destroy the Church of the Living God and to overthrow the Godhead. He produces at least the following 10 counterfeits. Already mentioned them, but I'm going to call them out again. A counterfeit God, counterfeit Christ, counterfeit spirits, counterfeit gospels, counterfeit baptisms, counterfeit churches, counterfeit kingdoms, counterfeit miracles, counterfeit Bibles, and counterfeit preachers. We will deal with each of those in this study. Satan's program is built upon strong delusion and deception. And folks, we are living in an age of deception and delusion. The Holy Ghost said in 2 Timothy 3, verse 13, that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Welcome to America in the year 2026. Much of what we see going on in America is the product of self-deception and willful ignorance. Most Americans can no longer think on a biblical, spiritual level. Most of what is taught in America's mostly apostate churches and reprobate secular institution is the perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. We are living in a perverse and crooked generation. America has entered into the bondage of corruption. Most church leaders in America have become the servants of corruption while they promise their members great liberty. Within professing Christianity, the tree is very corrupt and is bringing forth much corrupt fruit. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12. Verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Folks, we are living in the most deceived and deluded generation in the history of the world. While America's at the forefront of it all, it is a worldwide deception and delusion. According to verse 12 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, these deluded and deceived wretches take pleasure in their wickedness and unrighteousness. They are past feeling. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19. They are so wicked they cannot even be shamed or even be made to blush. Jeremiah 6, verse 15. If they do not get saved, they are under the condemnation and damnation of God. They will spend an eternity in hell. They are the reprobates of Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. And they hate God. They have willfully and knowingly rejected and scorned God's law and taken pleasure in those who do the same. Many of them hold to the delusion that they will be going to heaven, even though their vile, habitual, sinful lifestyle and conduct are screaming, "Hey, I am going to hell." They have been sent strong delusion from hell if they think that God blesses same-sex relationships or marriages. They are under a hellish strong delusion if they think God is okay with the sexual abuse and mutilation of anyone, especially children. Any sexually perverted butcher that performs a physical mutilation of any human being is a vile, reprobate, satanic monster. Forcing a gender change upon any child is the worst form of child abuse. It is the ultimate and strong delusion to think that man's medical butchery and sorcery can change the DNA of any individual once God gives the conception. According to Ruth 4:13, it's God that gives the conception. The whole transgender sodomite movement is under the curse of God. Let me repeat that. The whole transgender sodomite movement is under the curse of God. Today, we will be started an extended series on false prophets, false teachers, and their many counterfeit doctrines. False prophets and false teachers corrupt and pervert God's purpose in providing preachers, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and missionaries to his church and to a lost and dying world. Now, there is a holy duty of those who would be teachers and preachers. There's things that God requires of them. In my ministry, I put much emphasis on doctrine because the Bible says this in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. And we repeat this verse, these two verses again. Verse 8, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." That's Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. Folks, that was the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. The Lord Jesus Christ said that if your doctrine is not right, that your worship is in vain. Doctrine is no longer being systematically taught in most of our churches that claim to be fundamental Bible-believing churches. That is why most formerly fundamentalist churches are apostate now. Teaching doctrine takes a lot of work, strong discipline, and a willingness to come under the guns of Satan if necessary. There must also be a resolve that is as an adamant stone that you will not compromise God's word. You must learn how to scripturally deal with the resistance and the ignorance of the unsaved and the misunderstanding and ignorance of the saved. A good teacher must develop and foster spiritual discernment through a thorough knowledge of the scriptures and a spirit-filled, holy life to go with it. We are warned time and again of false prophets. The Lord Jesus Christ said this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 and 16. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? And that's Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 and 16. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 11 and verse 24, the Lord Jesus Christ also said this, and many, Matthew 24, verse 11, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. That's Matthew 24, verse 24. False prophets and false teachers are birthed in perverting and or rejecting the word of God. False doctrine and false teaching are the result of twisting and denying the word of God. God's words and God's doctrine walk hand in hand to achieve God's purpose for mankind. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 through 4, God's words are tied directly to God's doctrine. And Deuteronomy 32, verse 2 is the first of 56 occurrences in the Word of God of the word doctrine. Doctrine is very important to God. It is that lack of knowledge of doctrine that is destroying God's people and the church in America. The prophet Hosea had this to say in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. That's Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. The pastors, preachers, and teachers behind pulpits and lecterns in American churches have betrayed the holy charge that God has given to them. They are responsible for God's people being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. It is at their willfully neglectful hands that God's people are being destroyed. They will not teach and preach the word of God without compromise because they are fearful of offending someone. They would rather see someone die and go to hell than to offend them. These compromising preachers and teachers must be reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ said that offenses will come. But it is better that the offenses come than for someone to be cast into hell. That's in Matthew chapter 8, verses 7 through 9. And we also see that in Mark chapter 9, verses 35 through 48. For those who aspire to be teachers and preachers of the Word of God, God has given us the method that we must use in our teaching. Listen to what God has to say in Isaiah chapter 28, verses 9 through 13. Verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. That's Isaiah chapter 28, verses 9 through 13. If it is properly taught, the Word of God will hold its hearers responsible. If you're a Bible teacher or preacher, it is your responsibility and obligation before God to boldly proclaim and rightly divide the word of truth. We see that requirement in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 through 18. Well said the Apostle Paul, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. If you will put it out there, the word of God will not return void. It will accomplish the purpose for which God has sent it. That's Isaiah 55, verse 11. According to Galatians 3:8, if you will put it out there, the word of God will preach. Let me say that one again. According to Galatians 3:8, if you will put it out there, the word of God will preach. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14 is a New Testament application of the principles that we just read that are declared in Isaiah chapter 28, verses 9 through 13. So let's go and look at Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14 is a New Testament application of the principles declared in Isaiah chapter 28, verses 9 through 13. Starting in verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 5, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." That's Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. "Men and women that are not taught the word of God, precept upon precept and line upon line, will choke upon the strong meat and the things hard to be understood in the word of God." We see that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. In Isaiah chapter 28, notice the emphasis of the prophet Isaiah on knowledge and doctrine. We're not talking about a knowledge gained at the tree of knowledge at the feet of unbelieving Bible-correcting scholars. We're talking about Holy Ghost-anointed knowledge. True wisdom is Holy Ghost-anointed knowledge. As we have already seen, the Lord Jesus Christ places much emphasis on the importance of pure doctrine. The Apostle Paul is yet another example of an individual that placed much emphasis on pure doctrine. Here's what the Apostle Paul had to say about doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Then we have 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." Paul says to separate from them is what he says to do, and most so-called Christians today are just not going to do that. They don't have any backbone. Then we've got 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. This is the charge to Timothy, who was the pastor of that church there. He says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables." That is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. The passage of Scripture that I just read from First and Second Timothy speak for themselves. In this year of 2026, they are an up-to-date commentary on the wicked state of most of our churches and their members. Folks, doctrinal deception produces liars, apostates, and heretics. Let me say that again. Doctrinal deception produces liars, apostates, and heretics. The fables that the Holy Ghost is referred to in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, are the many counterfeits that come slithering forth out of Satan's crypts of deceit and corrupt theology. They are the works of the harlot church of Revelation chapter 17. She is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. She is the whore of the end times church, the bride of Satan. We begin our study of Satan's counterfeits with a discussion about Satan as a counterfeit god. And we're going to close out there. And in our next session, we will deal with the counterfeit gods that Satan has created. Thank you for joining us today.